Let's turn over to 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter, and begin with the first verse. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built to Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and to break down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines, that was his enemy, remember, and against the Arabians and that dwelled in Gerbaal and the Mehunims. Now, I may not get all these words right, but you take them for what they are anyway. And the Amorites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert, and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains, and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hands of Jeriel, the scribe, and Manasseh, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of Belor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,000 and 500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and haberguns and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the king went in after him with about 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the son of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all of the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprosy in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence, yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now we have read from 1 through 21 in the 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles. We hope you have some way paid attention to the reading of this lesson. We might go back now and review a few thoughts. Here we find in the beginning, here this man was 16 years old. And he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And it said he done that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And as long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. And God helped him against his enemies. He was strengthened exceedingly. For he was marvelously helped until he was strong. And that God used in making him king, reigned 52 years. God blessed him as long as he sought the Lord. And he done that which was right in the sight of God. Now it's just not everybody doing that tonight. Doing that that is right in the sight of God. But may the Lord help us tonight to realize that what we all need to be doing. Doing the thing that is right in the sight of God. When I think about people, the commendation of people, yet my mind always runs to what does God think about it? And what does God think about thus and so? When I realize the Word of God teaches us the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the good and the evil. Now this man, the Word of God commends him at this time as doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a real good commendation. I want that kind of commendation. To be said of me that I'm doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Now many times we may not be able to please people. Maybe people won't give you the just word of saying you're doing right. But dear one, to be able, the commendation from God that you're doing right in the sight of the Lord. Oh, that means much to me. Now he sought the Lord, and the Lord helped him. And this is encouraging to me to know as long as we seek the Lord's going to help us. I believe that. We found that to be so in our own experience. There's not a lot of people seeking after God. Oh, no, there isn't. A lot of professed people, even among Christianity, don't know much about seeking after God. And I don't mean to be critical. I had a neighbor that I lived by 17 years in Pomona, California. We were talking over the fence one day, just a fence divided our places. And she was talking to me about the Bible. And now, mind you, if you please, she was a Sunday school teacher in one of the biggest churches of Pomona. And this lady told me, she said, "Oh, Miss Munn," she says, "I never read my Bible." He's talking something, a subject on the Bible. She says, "I never read my Bible." She said, "I just take Dr. So-and-so's word for it." I thought, God help your soul. And here she was, a Sunday school teacher and a church member. She says, "I don't read it." Well, I thought, I don't know how you teach Sunday school. Lord help the poor dear one, that's the word she told me. I'm just telling you a word. She said, "I just paid Dr. So-and-so's word for it." Now tonight, dear one, it's going to be who you and me to seek the Lord for our own selves. Yes. To seek him and he'll help us. I'm glad I believe this. And we, everyone, need help. Oh yes, it doesn't make a difference how strong we think we are. It doesn't make any difference how long we've been living for God. We never get the place we don't need sincerely with all of our heart to seek after God. And I truly believe as long as we seek after God, he is going to help us out. That's wonderful to me. Help us to get a hold of it, Lord. As long as we seek the Lord, he's going to help us out. Here this man sought God. He did that which was right. Just think about that. And as long as he sought God, God made him to prosper. I like prosperity in the Lord, don't you? Is this water all right? I like prosperity in the Lord. I'm not near as interested in prosperity in material things. I'm not near as interested in prosperity even in health, as much as I appreciate it, as much as I thank the Lord we have the privilege to trust Him and the promises to heal our body. I'm yet, over and above that, dear one, interested in prosperity in my soul in the Lord. That's right. Why? Because Jesus came to save our souls. Save us from what? Save us from hell. Save us from being lost in eternity's night. He come, the Son of Man come to seek and to save the lost. What do you mean lost on the way to hell? And Jesus came to save us from that. So we thank Him tonight for saving our souls. Therefore, we want to put first things first. I believe He's more interested in this soul of ours that's continually in our hands than He is in anything else. And then, of course, according to His Word, He's interested secondarily in our health and in our welfare of our substance that we need and so on, the material things that we need. But here this man sought God and He helped him. And he prospered until he was strong and he done the thing that was right in the sight of God. God helped him against the Philistines, against his enemies. The enemy is constantly after souls. He's after your soul and he's after mine. He's constantly. Over in 1 Peter 5 and 5 it says, your adversary the devil as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. So we see he's after us. Way back there in Job it said when the sons of God come together, sons of man come together to worship God, it said Satan came also. So he's after us, dear ones. But I'm glad to tell you tonight that I certainly do believe the Lord is constantly on the help, giving the helping hand. He's constantly there. One scripture said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward God. Now, I do believe that. I feel that often. I actually have a conscious feeling that the eyes of the Lord is looking down upon us to those that can find we've got a perfect heart to help us out, to show Himself strong in our behalf. And all the many times we need God to do something special for us. So tonight it says here in the Philistines, and God helped him against the Philistines, which was his enemy, and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gabaal and the Hunams. And so, anyway, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Now we find out here this man, we've read several verses here, of the great strength he had and so on. We find on down in the 15th verse, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Now God made him strong. God helped him to be a strong man. Great power, great authority. Oh, tonight I see something here that would be good for all of us to give consideration to. But listen, when he was strong, when God had helped him, the man that once reigned 52 years, the man that once sought God, the man that once done right in the sight of God, the man that God once helped to overcome his enemies and so on. Here was this man, and he strengthened himself exceedingly. Here was this man, he was marvelously helped till he was strong, but when he was strong, what happened? His heart was lifted up. His heart was lifted up. What happened when his heart got lifted up? It was lifted up to his destruction. It brought destruction to this man for his heart to get lifted up. And so it yet worked that way. A picture I see tonight, you and I can get destruction come to us. It doesn't make any difference how long we've lived for God. It doesn't make any difference how many years we've served Him, how He has marvelously helped us and how strong we've been. It doesn't make any difference how exceedingly great and strong we've become and how much right we've done in the sight of God. and how strong God made it when the time comes when we lift our heart up against God. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we are headed for destruction. Oh, yes, we are. This man lifted his, and when he was strong, a time he would think people would just continue. Well, we think they've got strong now. Surely they can be stable and steadfast. But I'm going to tell you something. The enemy's yet on our trail. Hear this man, and when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. It don't pay people to let their self get lifted up. Here was a man, he got lifted up. He got exalted. I yet say it means a lot to be poor in spirit and to be spiritually poor. God help us tonight. I yet maintain that a person that's poor in spirit is not going to let their self get exalted and their heart lifted up. Now, I believe that. To maintain that broken and contrite spirit, the one that God said he will dwell with that person, though he dwells in the high and lofty place, yet to that one is of a humble and a contrite spirit, he will dwell with that one. And so when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. Isn't this a terrible thing? One that God had helped, one that God had used, one that had prospered, until he was at a place that looked like he should maintain his stability. And now he become lifted up. Sad, isn't it? Become lifted up to his own destruction. Folks, it yet works this way. I do not believe tonight you or I could get lifted up in our hearts and transgress against God. It is going to bring destruction. And he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And here it says that Azariah the priest went in after him, and fourscore. How many would that be? 80 priests. 22 score and fourscore would be 80, wouldn't it? And 80 priests went in after him that were valiant men, you see. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense. That wasn't his job. It was the priest's job to burn incense upon the altar of incense. They told him to go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Lifted his heart up, trespassed against the Lord to his own destruction. I want you to notice the rest of this. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. The God had honored this man. God had given him help. God had strengthened him, had blessed him, had increased him exceedingly. God had helped him out and helped him do what's right as long as he sought him. I'm glad I believe this yet works today, dear one. As long as we seek the Lord, he's going to help us to do that that's right. But when you and I get a feeling that we're pretty well strong now and don't have to be so careful, we're beginning right then to get lifted up. Just as sure as we're here. May the Lord help us, everyone, to that. Listen now, the rest of it. Then Uzziah was wroth. He became angered. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth, you know, God knows everything, with the priest the leprosy even rose up in his forehead. Right up in his forehead, here come that dreadful, dreadful thing of the leprosy. You know what this was? This was the judgments of God upon this man. This was the judgment, the severeness of God upon this man. Because of the way he had done, he had lifted up himself against the Lord, exalted himself, so to speak, and transgress against God. That's usually what people do. When you lift ourselves up, we're going to transgress. We're going to disobey the Lord. That's just the way it works, dear ones. And Azariah the chief priest, let's see, leprosy rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all of the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprosy in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hastened also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. You see, He knew that God knew all about it. He knew that God smote him. This was the judgments of God. This was the wrath of God upon this man, because after all that God had done for him, he lifted up himself and transgressed against the laws of God and became stubborn, disobedient, and now the judgments of God. All right, and Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. And what else? And dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. I don't know of any wording tonight that's any more sad to me than to think about someone being cut off from the house of the Lord. That's a sad state to be in, to be cut off from the house of the Lord. Regardless of what this man's past was, folks, when you and I, I'm thinking now about Moses. You know, when Moses had interceded for the children of Israel, when they had sinned by requiring the golden calf, I believe it was, to be made, the image and so on, I believe, call it golden calf. And here the Lord was so displeased with it, and the Lord was going to just turn them loose and destroy them, I believe, the way it went. And Moses began to intercede for them, and he told the Lord to cut him off if he wouldn't spare them. And Moses said, whosoever sinneth, his name will I blot out. So tonight, dear ones, it yet works this way. When you and I transgress, it doesn't make a difference how long we've been saved and how much we've been blessed and how God has used us. When you and I, we get lifted up in our heart and disobey God and fail to obey His commands in every way, it's going to work the wrath of God upon us. God smote this man. It was the judgments of God. And we will put ourselves in the place to be cut off from the house of God. The house of God. When I think about the house of God, I think about when we're cut off. We're cut off from light, from life, from the promises. Just reading today, the Word of God said over there, you know, when I believe it's the place over in 1 Kings, is it not, about the 8th chapter? Maybe I have, this is right. 1 Kings about the 8th chapter and down about the 56th verse. And I don't remember how many promises we have on record supposed to be in this Bible. Way up into the thousands. And when I think about the Word of God says that the Lord had not failed one word of all of His good promises. Then I'm thinking about over in, is it 1 Peter? Or 2 Peter, the first chapter, it says something like this, hereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of His divine nature, and so on. Oh, I'm saying all of that to say this, dear ones, when we are cut off from the house of God, we're cut off from the great promises of God. We are cut off from life. In Him is life. If we follow Him, we'll not walk in darkness. He come to light the life of every man. Over in St. John, I believe it's 10 and 10, He said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So we find in Him is life, in Him is light, and in Him is the exceeding promise, in Him is peace. Amen. And to think about being cut off from the house of God, when we think of the condition of this old world today, cut off from peace, it's a wonderful thing to have peace in our soul. Yes. To be cut off from the house of God, cut off from peace, cut off from life. Oh yes, cut off from life, spiritual death, cut off from light. I was reading over there in the 60th chapter of Isaiah today, and I believe about the second verse, it says something like this, and darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. I say we're cut off from life, but where are we? Right out in gross darkness. When we're cut off from life, it's spiritual death. When we're cut off from peace, then it's turmoil and trouble. And oh yes, this world is full of that today. When we're cut off from the promises of God, what hope do we have? I say again, all the hope we have is through the Word of God. But this man so done, regardless of 52 years of reigning in Jerusalem, regardless of all God had helped him, regardless of his prosperity, regardless of doing that at right one time in the sight of God, here's a time he so conducted himself that he was cut off from the house of God. For a little while, no, until the day of his death. That's a sad place to be. When you think about death ends all of our opportunity in the Lord. Praise doesn't do any good. You say it doesn't do any good? No. When you once leave this world, you can pray all you please. It don't avail a thing. Here we have record. The Word of God's what I'm going by. Here we have a record of one man that left this world. Well-off man, rich man. Spared sumptuously every day. He died. And after death, we have a record. He was in hell. He lifted up his eyes and he prayed. He prayed for a little mercy and he prayed for a drop of water. Did he get either one? No, he didn't get either one. Didn't get either one. And you and I wouldn't either. Here this man was cut off from the house of God until the day of his death. Oh, I said, this is a sad note. This is a sad note, dear ones, and it will yet work in mine in your day if we put ourselves in the place that God sees that it has to be that way. Unto the day of his death, he was cut off from the house of God. When I think about the house of God, I'm over in 1 Timothy. Someone turn and read 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 15th verse. Maybe tell us just a little bit what they had in mind. The house of God is here. All right, if I tarry long, that thou may know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Just a minute. I yet say God requires behavior in his house. My father had 10 children. One of them is gone, and my father's gone. But I'll never forget, as long as I live and I've got my thinking ability, of the rules and the law my father had. And I've been thanking him for many, many years who left this whole world for the way he reared us. He had laws, dear ones, and he was strict on us 10 children. Oh, yes, he was. And I remember he probably thought his 8 girls wouldn't do this, maybe need this quite to this extent, but he had 2 boys. And he told those 2 brothers of mine, he said, now listen, boys. He said, as long as you abide here in our house, he says, you're going to obey my rules. And those 2 boys just about done that too. They did. And my father was a saved man. But I say he had laws in his house. And us girls, we knew better than to do different. We knew better. And he was a good man. My father, regardless of, you just bear with me, he was a good man. He's a saved man. And he lived confidence. I don't think that one of us children today, that unsaved brother of mine, not long ago before I left, after I moved there in May, he was talking one day with tears in his eyes about Papa and the life that he lived. But he yet had laws in his house. And we was expected to obey those laws. Now listen, if I tarry long, that thou may know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. And what else?
Which is the church of the living God.
The pillar and the ground of the truth. All right, this tells us what the church... I'm a special way. Of course, this was a temple. But the comparison I want us to just consider, in other words, is the house of God, the spiritual house. The church of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. God's got laws in his house, dear ones. God's got laws. Had laws back here in the temple. And when this man, it doesn't make any difference, a great king, ruled for 52 years, and God had helped him marvelously, but when it come time that he disobeyed the laws of God and lifted himself up, listen, it was to his own destruction. God smote him with this dreadful disease of leprosy, which is a type of sin. Smote him, and he was cast out and cut off from the house of God until the day of his death. May the Lord help us tonight. the pillar and ground of the truth, which is the church of the living God, that I may know how to behave myself. God teaches how to behave ourselves. God's got behavior in his house. Oh, yes, he has. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. Thou shalt do, thou must do, and thou shalt not do. May the Lord help us tonight. This man was cut off from the house of God. It's a sad thing. I yet say disobedience to the Lord will cut us off from the house of God and for everything that's good. We'll have no privilege in the house of God. God in his great mercy, no doubt has, in mercy I say, has heard prayers. Maybe of those that's away from God, and they were penitent prayers, we know God hears. But I was thinking the other day, reading over there in Isaiah, the 37th chapter, where Hezekiah, you know, and them had gotten the word that that the Assyrian army was going to come after them and against them and so on, and he was so troubled. And he said he went up into the house of the Lord, if I remember correctly, and he spread that thing before the Lord. And I thought, what a wonderful privilege that is. To just go, so to speak, up in the house of God to get on before him and spread your troubles before the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Do you folks know what I'm talking about? To get in trouble. The world's full of trouble. Over in Job the 14th chapter and first verse, a man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Trouble. And yet to have somewhere you can go in every time of trouble. Spread your troubles before the Lord. And to know beyond a doubt he's going to help you out. Over in the Psalms 46 and 1, not used to be, not is going to be, oh bless the Lord. But God is, present tense, our refuge and our strength, and a very present help in time of trouble. Do you have any trouble? Do you ever see any trouble? Do you ever feel any need of just taking your troubles and spreading it before the Lord, down on your knees and crying out to him to help you in your time of trouble? Cut off from the house of God. No privilege to spread our troubles before him. No promise from God. Though he's so great, God is a God that cannot lie. He has not failed one word of all of his good promises, exceeding great and precious, yet cut ourselves off from the house of God and from the promises of God. It's terrible, folks. It's terrible. That's right. All right. I don't believe I gave you a scripture, did I? That we might know how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. Now, I believe that means these four walls, too, don't you? Oh, yes, I do. I believe the Lord wants to know how to behave ourselves when we come to service in the four walls, how to act, how to treat one another, how to behave ourselves. Sometimes the conduct right in the four walls aren't so good either. That's right. I remember in Pomona one time, after I went there, after I was there a few years, there was a man came to church, and something went forth that he didn't like. There was a minister preaching the gospel, he's preaching the gospel. And this man claimed to be saved, and he didn't like it, he just hit him a little bit. And before that, I remember well, he was just all enthused and amen, and it kind of makes me think of a little story I heard one time about, I don't remember if this was Charles Wesley or John Wesley was preaching. Somebody was preaching. And he was just being amen for someone, and they said that he was a preaching just, let's see, how did that go? I forget. Anyway, there was three things. Get all you can, save all you can. And that man thought that was a wonderful sermon. Just get all you can. And just save all you can. That was wonderful. But the next thing he said, give all you can. And that didn't hit very good. Just get all you can and save all you can. Amen. That was wonderful. But when it come to giving all you can, that surely wasn't right. And he really drawed back there. But this man in Pomona, I was there and I know,
He was amen, and something was said that he just didn't like, and it didn't set well. He got up and stomped out of the chapel and said, "Strain it on that and swallow a camel." And such a talk in the way he went. Didn't behave himself very well, you know that? No, he didn't, Brother Benson. He didn't behave himself very good. I yet believe that God wants us to have behavior in His church, the church of God, in His house, and in this house too. Sometimes people can act pretty ugly right in the house, the four walls. God help us not. This man cut himself off from the house of God through his behavior of disobedience to the Lord. There's another little text somewhere. I believe it's in, seem like it's Micah. I'm not quite sure, but I was reading this afternoon. Yes, here it is. Here it is. I believe, yes. It says, but in the last, Micah 4:1, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, "Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Now here we find, according to this little text here, just a portion of it, it says the law, he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now I thought here, according to the word of the Lord, we're taught to go to the house of God. There's scripture somewhere, I don't remember where, it says, "Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together." And so we are taught to go to the house of God. And here this man said, speak about the house of God, and he will teach us his way. So we will find instructions. The enemy of our soul is going to do everything he can to cause people to be cut off from the house of God. And you know, when you get up to the place, we're talking about his spiritual house, and we're bringing in just a little bit about this house as we are in right now, the four-wall house, I call it. And so the Lord said here, we'll go up into the mountain, the house of the Lord, and we'll receive instruction there. We'll be taught the house of the Lord. And so may the Lord help us to realize it's necessary that we go into the house of the Lord. Now it says, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee." It's a blessed thing to be able to dwell in the house of the Lord. I want to dwell there, don't you? I want to dwell there all of the days of my life. Over in Psalms 27, someone read it for me, if you please, and 4.
"This one thing is our desire to the Lord."
All right, this one thing. Oh, let's focus our desires on the one thing, so to speak. And let everything else fall in place and be secondary. "This one thing have I desired of the Lord." I can say that with the psalmist David tonight, with all of my soul, dear ones. I truly do say it with all of my soul. "This one thing have I desire, and I do desire." And what is that?
"That will I seek after."
That I'm going to seek after. There are not a lot of people seeking after this thing today. But it's going to take seeking. Yes, it is. "That I will seek after," and what else?
Dwell
in the house of the Lord
all of the days of my life.
To inquire in his tabernacle.
And
to behold his beauty. Folks, are we seeking after that? It is going to take seeking after God to remain in his spiritual house. And so therefore, according to the word of the Lord, a good thing to help us is to just gather together in the house of the four walls and be taught his law and his instruction. Sin will cut us off. Transgression will cut us off. Lifting ourselves up will cut us off. Failure to God in different ways will cut us off from the Lord. That's right. All right, it says here, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. It is a blessed thing to be able to live in the house of God. Surely, 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 we do desire, and we're seeking after that desire, to remain in His house all of the days of our life. Amen. If we live to be 100 years old, let's still be seeking after this, to dwell in His house and not to be cut off. Remember, the warning is to lift up ourselves in pride to our own destruction. When a person lifts up their self, it invariably, they will some way, somehow transgress and rebel against God's way. I said a while ago, thy way is best. God help us to realize the Lord's way is best. Oh yes it is. God's way is best. And it says, I will not murmur. May the Lord help us not to murmur about the way of the Lord. Over in Psalms 26 and the 8th verse is another little text. Remember about this man. Won't you remember this man when you go away, what happened to him? How he was cut off from the house of God until the day of his death. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwells. There's honor. There's honor in the house of God. You talk about honor. People today are seeking after fame and honor and publicity and so on. You talk about honor. It's honor to love the Lord and to dwell in His house. That's right. He said He'll honor those that honor Him. May the Lord help us tonight. I say it's a sad thing to be cut off from the house of God. It's a sad thing. And I think about that those things that will cut us off if we aren't careful. Disobedience to the Lord. Lift ourselves up. Transgress. Fail God. Sin omission, sin commission. Many things that will cut us off. Some people are cut off and then they return. But I'm going to tell you, here was a man that was cut off to the day of his death. I fear tonight there are people to my knowledge, people no doubt to your knowledge, that's cut off. And unless God in His mercy can some way, somehow, break down their stubborn wills and their hardened hearts and get them back, they're cut off to the day of their death. Oh, it's sad, dear ones. I don't know of any sadder words tonight than to think about being cut off from the house of God to the day of death. Why? Because death ends every opportunity to get back to God. It does. There is a teaching in the world today that you can do such and such things after that and gradually get someone step by step into heaven. Food of the devil. That's right. The falsehood of the devil, just the way I put it where it is. It's not a truth of God. It's a falsehood of the devil. According to the Word of God. Oh, may the Lord help us, everyone. Do let the Lord talk to our hearts. Do let Him challenge our soul. Let's not begin the path that's going to cut us off from the house of God. There's a beginning for everything, dear ones. There is a beginning. Things don't usually just pop up overnight. That is a usual thing. But many people have been cut off from the house of God because they lifted up their selves and become somewhat exalted and stubborn and resentful to the Word, the way, and the will, and the plan, and the truth of God. Now may the Lord help us, is my prayer.